you guys out there in the third dimension with your smart devices, you can really exercise your thumbs on this show. I'm Gary. This is my wife, Gloria.
Hello, everybody.
And on the screen, we've got John Tripp. And John's over there in North Carolina. How you going, John?
Good morning. Thank you. Hey, glad to see everybody.
Yeah. And we're Grace Faith Christian Discipleship. This is the GFCD Q&A Bible study. And we're doing a study in the book of Hebrews. And we've got two other guest ministers joining us right now, Kathleen and Keith from Bunbury in Western Australia. So I'm going to hand over to Gloria now, and she's going to open this Bible study with prayer. And
We might just introduce Keith and Kathleen first.
We've also got
them already on the screen.
Hello, Keith and Kathleen.
And we've got Patrick.
Unmute yourself, please, Keith and Kathleen.
And Patrick's audio is connecting as well. So
Hello, Keith. Hello, Kathleen.
Good to see you.
Hi.
Yeah, we've gone back to the old format of introducing ourselves right at the outset. So would you like to introduce yourself from WA, please, Keith?
Hello, everyone. This is Keith Wall from Bunbury, WA, rejoicing in the Lord. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. Kathleen?
Hi, my name's Kathleen, and of course I'm married to Keith, and we're in Bunbury, WA. Great place to be.
Thanks, Kathleen. And we've got Patrick joining us from Uganda. G'day, Patrick. How are you?
Hi.
I'm fine, well, thank you. How are you? Hi, Gloria. Hi,
Hi.
Gary.
Hello. Hello. Yeah.
And you know John. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, John.
Yes.
Hey, hi, John. Yes, I know John.
Yeah.
Yep. Good.
Patrick,
good to see
would
you.
You like to introduce yourself to the people out there in the third dimension, please?
Thank you very much. I'm Patrick Chigongo, based here in Uganda, which is East Africa. And I fellowship with a church called Worship Harvest. I'm very glad to be part of today's fellowship. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Patrick.
Great
to have you aboard, and great to have all the other ministers aboard with us. And Gloria's going to open with prayer and lead us through communion now. So you guys out there in the third dimension, if you're believers, then go and grab some elements that you can use for the, you know, to represent the body and the blood of Jesus.
And I know there might only be half a dozen of us on the screen at the moment, but we know that there are lots of people that watch this either live while it's while we're actually doing the Bible study, or later on. So it doesn't matter if you want to take communion later on after this is finished going live. You're most welcome to go and get your elements, come back and join us and fellowship together as a body of believers, as the church of Jesus Christ. So, Father God, we just thank you for this very precious time that people from all around the world are able to connect together, are able to come and study your word. You've made a way for us to be able to do this. We thank you so much, Father God, for your precious Son, Jesus, your beloved Son. And thank you for the Holy Spirit who helps us as we read the word. We know it goes out to those people whose hearts are hungry. And we thank you for the living word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This week I've been doing a lot of meditating on the cross. And, of course, we're coming to remember Jesus through this through this time of communion that we call it, where we remember the body and the blood of Jesus. So I just want to read from Romans 6 tonight, and it says, "We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ." And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. There you go. I thought you might like that, Kathleen. "We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. Now, why did I read that? Because after all, communion is meant to be the focus on Jesus. And the reason I've read that is because no matter what we might be going through in our lives, no matter what struggles we might have, we need to continually look back at the finished work of the cross. The whole message of the cross is Christ crucified and risen again. That we have, through him, overcome death, sickness, disease. And whenever we stray off to do things in our own strength, we never, ever achieve it. Because it is only through the finished work of the cross that we are able to be overcomers. We were crucified with him and we've been raised together with him. So when we remember this communion time, we are remembering what Christ has won for us through his body that took the wounds, the lashes, the scourges, the beatings. He won healing for us, divine healing. So if we are trying to make ourselves well, there's only a limited amount of getting well we can do if we try to do it in our own strength. But when we believe, when we believe what Christ has achieved for us, then we will be set free because of the power of the cross. And when we remember that he paid for our for the sin of the world and for our own sin, we are set free from that sin and we no longer have to carry that sin ourselves. And if there's something that you're trying to get free of and you're trying to do it in your own strength, look at the cross. Go back to the cross. Because Jesus has already won for us that freedom. So we take that bread right now and we thank you, Jesus, for your body, that by your stripes we've been healed.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you for your precious blood that took away the sin of the world, took my sin, and has given me new life in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Gloria. Well, this is a Bible study, and we're in the book of Hebrews, and we will just go straight to, I'll just share screen, and we'll go just straight to Hebrews chapter 10. Whoops, I'm in chapter 11. Let's go back to chapter 10, and I think it's verse 32, isn't it, Gloria?
Yes, that's right.
So before Gloria reads through to the end of the chapter, I'll just do a bit of a recap. We're talking about, he starts, but recall the former days in which after you. Well, who's this you? Well, it's the people that the author of Hebrews was writing to. It's the Jewish Christians. Like, he's writing to Hebrews, but these are all born-again Christians, so he's writing to Christians. So that's the who. If you know, if you weren't watching last week's Bible study, you probably wonder who we're talking about. We're talking about the Hebrew people, the Jewish Christian people. Over to you, Gloria, if you could read right through to the end of the chapter, and we might start with John first and just work our way around, okay?
But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul.
Thanks, Gloria. Okay, well, there's a fair bit in that. So we're going to go to John first, and then we'll go to Patrick, then to Keith, then to Wendy, then to Tom, and then to Kathleen for comments. So over to you first, please, John.
Thank you, Gary. You know, if you look at that, starting there, these people really put under pressure. They had everything confiscated for them. And I think the picture that it draws here, at least when we talk about how these people endured beginning in the pressure, it said they had a treasure in heaven. They had a pearl of great price. And most of us are familiar how a piece of sand becomes a pearl. It has to endure pressure. And this is the picture it draws here for me. They were put under pressure, and they had that pearl that was developed, which is that treasure in heaven, which it speaks. So basically, faith equals confidence. And what does confidence produce? It produces obedience. And to me, that this is the highest form of worship they could have given what they were experiencing right here. So this describes how a pearl is developed in that oyster. And that's the way we're just a piece of sand. We're sitting in that, and we're going to have, in other words, it's going to cost us to be a Christian, just to make a long story short. That's what I'm saying. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, John. That's right. It's, you know, it's going to cost. It comes at a price to be a Christian. It does. And this is talking about some people pay a greater price than others. But in verse 32, it says, but he's calling to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, in other words, and after you saw the truth in Jesus Christ and became followers of Jesus, you endured a great fight of affliction. So that's what he's talking about here. Over to you, please, Patrick.
Oh, thank you very much, Gary and Gloria, John, and everyone on the screen. There is a lot to reflect on, but upon reading this scripture, I was drawn to John chapter 14, 26, of the work of the Holy Spirit in reminding us when Jesus left us the Holy Spirit, he told us that the Spirit, his Spirit will be a reminder, his Spirit will be an advocate, his Spirit will be a counselor, and all the attributes of the Holy Spirit. So the writer of Hebrew in this specific scripture is kind of reminding us of our journey, our first, would I call it, what we received when we had just accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. The illumination that we had then, that it shouldn't spark our way, but we should have that illumination with the help and the work of the Holy Spirit. But amidst the trials, amidst the many things, the ups and downs that the world comes with, we have the spirit that always reminds us of an illumination. That illumination does not fade away, but it keeps on, the rays of the illumination in our lives keeps on brightening up, that it suddenly overshadows some of the things that sometimes could be a distraction in this walk. And as you've rightly put it, I mean, it's a walk of many challenges. It's a walk that comes with many ups and downs. But I think we have the spirit to always remind us each and every other day that our illumination, the illumination that we received when we have just received Christ, doesn't go away, but we have that to brighten up or to brighten over the situations and circumstances that may come. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Patrick. That was good. Over to you, please, Keith. And can you unmute, please, Kathleen? Kathleen?
Thank you. A call to remembrance, the former days in which you were illuminated, you were endured with great fight of affliction. Now, we've got to see the picture. This is Jewish people getting born again and coming under persecution from other Jews to return to the temple worship. So there's a fight here amongst them, or resistance, that to go on, they had to be very positive. And this is what we need to remember for a lesson for us. Partly while you were made a gazing stock of reproaches and affliction, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. So once again, we're fighting affliction, but also we've got to remember the fellowship we had with other Christians that are in that affliction. So we're not isolated. We're now identifying with the other Christians that are under persecution. So we need to make sure that these people lost everything. They were losing their possessions because of persecution. For you had compassion on my bonds and took joyfully of the spoiling of your goods, knowing that yourself that you have in heaven a better endurance of substance. So once again, we're now looking at the point here that they're being spoiled of their goods. So it says you love the Lord your God. First of all, we love God, not things. So this is a very good lesson to us, because we've got to make sure that we are keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and not on the things that he gives us. And even if those things disappear, it should not affect your relationship with God. For a little while, and he shall come and shall not tarry. So once again, we're looking at the second coming of Christ. This is the comfort to the Christians, that even though those people are being persecuted, they're losing all their goods, separated from their original friends and making companions with them now, the Christians are fully identifying with them, we are not losing sight of the second coming of Christ. And this is what the thing is, there's a lot of information in the world, but how many people are getting the information? I was talking to somebody the other day. We're talking about the state of the world. And I said, well, I'm a Christian and I believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. But how many people believe it? And this is what the scriptures is encouraging these people. Even though there's strong persecution, Jesus is coming again. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Pastor Keith. Over to you, Tom and Wendy. And could you introduce yourselves first, please?
Yes, sir. Hello to everybody on the screen and everybody who's watching. Thank you for joining us. I'm Wendy and my husband Tom, and we're from England, northeast England, Grimsby, we call it Gladsby, and we pastor a church there called One Church. So just getting back to the word, it's really good what everybody's commented on. And I was just looking at verse 35, Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which is of a great reward. And even all these verses that we've read, it can be overwhelming at times, but I like to keep it simple like Jesus kept it. He said that everybody can understand the word, and even children. So in verse 35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. And earlier, I looked up some commentaries, and some of the commentaries, they just put the fear of God into people, so I won't repeat them. But then I found a commentary called Grace Commentary, which is obviously in line with what we are wanting to portray. This is what it puts, what it says about this verse. It says, God is always with you. He promised to never leave you. So that's the confidence that we can have. But you will not be confident of his presence if your conscience condemns you. So this is encouraging us, you know, to make sure that our confidence is in him and in his promises. If you think you need to earn God's favor, that your sins will drive you away, you have thrown away your confidence and will no longer be enjoying his reward. So this verse here in my thoughts is just encouraging us to keep our confidence in his promises. And we know that his promises are all yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And just following on from what Pastor Keith said about, you know, Jesus is coming back, and that gives me confidence, not only life evermore, but in this life, you know, we can use that as a practical confidence, because if I have overwhelming problems or even small problems, you can just keep reminding yourself, you know, that one day Jesus is coming back, and all our problems and all our pains and all our hurts will just disappear in a flash. So that's the confidence that we have. The confidence is in his written word, but also our confidence is in the Holy Spirit, because it said the Holy Spirit will teach us all things and bring everything to our remembrance. So you might have a situation now at home or in your life, and just ask the Holy Spirit even now, you know, just to show you, one scripture can change your life forever. And just be confident in his promises, and confident that one day Jesus is coming back and we will be with him forevermore, obviously, if you put your trust in him, which yeah. Everybody's invited to do that.
Wow, that was so good. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I don't usually single out particular ministers, but what we've just heard from Keith and Wendy kind of backed up exactly what Keith was saying. And that is a great reminder. That's the word of God, and we're hearing. We're getting it into our ears and into our spirit and into our soul. And that hearing that word increases our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's good to hear those foundational things that, you know, Jesus is coming back. You've got to believe this. If you're a Christian out there in the third dimension, you've got to grasp hold of these things. How many times have we heard Pastor Keith say to us, we need to believe in creation. Creation. How many Christians question creation because they've been bombarded by the theology of evolution? It's a theology, and it's incorrect, because our Bible says that God created the world. He created everything. There's nothing made that he didn't create. Amen? So this is about faith, and we're going to go into the next chapter, which is all about faith. And faith, just remember this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Over to you, please, Kathleen.
Well, I'm just going to hone in on where Tom and Wendy were in verse 35. Because I, like them, I'm very much into confidence, because he is our confidence. He gives us confidence, and we have that confidence where we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And so I'll just read verse 35, and I'm going to read it first in a Passion Bible. It says, "So don't lose your bold, courageous faith, for you are destined for a great reward." See, our destiny is, our destiny is not this earth. We have a destiny. And Jesus is definitely coming back. And he's not coming back for a weak church. He's coming back for a glorious church. And so we have to have, like Tom was saying, we need the strength of endurance. We need the strength of endurance and the revelation of God's will so that we can receive the promise in full. For very soon, the one who is appearing will come without delay. He is on his way. And so we have to be ready. And we need to, I just want to read, how are we going to not cast away our confidence? It says in Hebrews 35, verse 35, "Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord." I think the King James says, "Cast not away your confidence, because it has great recompense of reward." So the New Living Translation says, "Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patience, endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do his will." And we all know that patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And we all know that we have the power of the eternal Spirit, the very Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, living within us, if we are truly born again and know it. How am I going to not cast away my confidence? Well, this is the answer book. This Bible has the answer for everything. And in Luke 21:19, it tells us, "By standing firm in him, you will win your soul." What does it mean by winning my soul? It means I will have power to override my soul. I will not give in to my mind, my feelings, my emotions. I will allow my spirit man to rule. And that's how they were able to overcome. Because in that Luke 19, it tells you, Jesus is saying, they will even kill some of you. Verse 17, "And everyone will hate you because you are my followers. But not a hair on your head will perish. By standing firm, you will win your soul." We will not give in, because he is our strength. See, we've been given the standby, that the comforter, the counselor, that's what Patrick was talking about. You know, the Holy Spirit, he is there to glorify Jesus, but he's also our helper. He is there to lead and guide us into all truth. All truth means into everything that Jesus has given to us that pertains to life and godliness. I'll leave it there, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Kathleen. Again, excellent. The Holy Spirit will show us things to come. That's right. The Holy Spirit will show us things to come. He is our counselor. He is our comforter. He's our friend. You know, we've been talking about confidence, and I just looked up one of my favorite verses on confidence in the Bible. It's 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. It says this: "And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desire of him." How good is that? You know, you've got to, there's a couple of key points there. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, well, how do we know if it's according to his will? As Kathleen said, it's in the answer book. It's in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, it's in accordance with God's will. That's how you know if it's in accordance with his will. Before we commence the next segment, which is always the highlight of our Bible study, I'd like to pray over your giving today. This prayer comes from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 and 11. "May God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything, for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God." I thank God for your giving. I thank God for those who on a regular basis are partnered with GFCD and give monthly. This allows us to keep all our various programs going. Thank you again. God bless you. Okay, let's get back to our study in Hebrews, and I'm going to share screen. And we'll get Gloria to do some more reading, and we will go to the next chapter. So let's just minimize this, and I'll click there, and we're in chapter 11. Okay, Gloria, if you could just read one verse, and then we'll go around, because this verse is so powerful that it's a standalone, if you would please, Gloria.
"Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen."
Yeah, did I manage to share screen there?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So over to you, please, John. Just comment on Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Gary. I'd written some notes here previously. You know, faith basically is trust-based obedience, just to make a, you know, to make that point. But the faith is the reality of things unseen. You know, by faith, we just simply understand. You know, that's how I look at faith right there. I mean, that's all, that's what faith means to me, the reality of unseen, that we, it's like a TV set. I don't have it on right now, but all I have to do is turn it on. But I know there are waves coming from the TV station to my, I can't see them, but I know they're there. So, that's sort of a simple analogy, but that's what I try to see. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, John. Patrick, could you comment on Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, please? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I think you might have been offline. Do you want me to come back to you?
Yes, could come back, yeah.
Yeah, okay, all right. We'll, you can come in after Keith. So we'll go to Keith next.
Hello, Gary. Thank you. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we have the evidence. Faith is the evidence. So if the Bible says something, I believe it. I've got the evidence. I've got the answer. Like Gary was saying, faith. In Romans 10:17, it says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So it's all in the word of God, like the promises in the word of God, all that's in the word of God. faith is in the Word of God. So if I've got the faith, I've got the evidence. That's what Abraham was saying. He's the father of many nations, but he didn't have any children.
Mm.
Faith is the substance.
Mm.
So what if I need my salvation, if I need my healing, if it's in the Bible, if it says by his stripes I'm healed, then I'm healed, because faith is the evidence. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. Great point. I'm just looking at this. Now faith is. Now faith is. Now faith is. I like that. Now faith is. See, we've got to stand in faith. And when do you do that? Now, right? Well, it's substance. It says it here in the Bible. Faith is actually substance of things hoped for. The evidence, so it's substance, it's evidence of things not seen. It doesn't say things that don't exist. These things are in the spirit realm. They're not seen in this realm, if you can get what I mean. I'm going to, who am I going to? I'm going to Patrick next. Over to you, Patrick.
Thank you. You know, Hebrews 11 in the first place opens up with what faith itself is. I mean, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But also faith in the very first place, as the rest of the people have been mentioning on screen. I mean, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And so in other words, what activates the faith that you have the faith to hope for things that are not seen, to have the evidence for things that are not seen? In the first place, then you need to hear the word of God. Yeah. So the word of God is an activator, to have the faith. So you hear the word of God. And once you have the word of God, then it activates your spirit. In activating your spirit, you start believing for the things you hope for. You're hoping for, much as you're not seeing them. But you have a fuel, you have a driver, which is the word of God. So the word of God in the first place is a very strong element in building your spirit man. And in building your spirit man, then you're activating faith. So the two work hand in hand. You need the fuel to activate the faith. And so what is the fuel that activates the faith? It's the word of God. And it just briefly takes us a little on what we've been sharing in Hebrews 10:32. All the persecutions that are not only, I mean, the persecution of Christians, the persecution that go on in countries where Christianity is not accepted, but talking in reality, the persecution that comes as a result of the different situations and circumstances of life. Mm. What builds us, what builds our lives in this work to understand that ultimately, much as this, as just briefly on the last chapter of what we shared before, I conclude with Hebrews 11, that what makes us believe that as Hebrews 11 says, sorry, Hebrews 36, last chapter of Hebrews 10, that now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure. As the just of God, we need the faith, and that's the faith we have. And this faith is driving us to understand the promises of God. And in understanding the promises of God, then, this is how it all comes about, by knowing that faith comes by hearing the word of God, and then the words of faith are activated in our lives.
Mm. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, Patrick. Now, again, very, very good. Very good. Okay, so I have who? Wendy's next, and then Tom, and then Kathleen. Over to you, Wendy.
I'm sure most of us have heard this verse explained many times, but just briefly, I can't go into it all, but last night Andrew Womack spoke at the European Grace and Faith conference, and he spoke about the balance of grace and faith. And he said that he'd had a new understanding on this verse, and I managed to get hold of it a little bit myself. But if you want to listen to more of it, you can find it on our One Church Grimsby Facebook page. It was Andrew Womack speaking last night. And just as a side note, normally when we used to go 20 years ago, I had 20 people, and I think there was about 2,000 people in England last night. But getting back to this, he said that faith is a gift that God's given us. So we don't need more faith. All we need to do is just use the faith that we've already got. And faith is just using our faith to get what grace has already done for us. So we can't muster up any more faith than what we've already been given. We've all been given the same measure of faith. Mm. So faith is a gift. And we don't have to stress about people say, oh, you need more faith and all this kind of thing. So we don't need more faith. All we need to do is use the faith that we've already got on the inside of us. And that faith is just to appropriate what grace has already bought for us. And to me, that made it much easier, you know, to more simple, simpler to understand. But that's simply put how, when he was speaking, I sort of started to get a better understanding of that. And I think when we understand this, we will achieve more than we could ever think of or imagine.
Yeah, that's basically when the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. That's exactly what he told them. He just said, use the faith that you've got. That's a summary of it. Use what you've got. You don't need more faith, just use what you've got, you know. Yeah. Over to you, please, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, again, when we see that it says now faith is the substance, we can link that, as I said to Gary, if you see a therefore, look what it's there for. But if you see a now, you also need to look what the now is, because it's a whatever it is, an adjunctive, it adds on to the previous chapter. And he ends chapter 10 there basically telling us that there are two categories of people around, even then and today, and they're both the same categories. There are those who don't enter into God's rest because of unbelief, and there are those who believe and are saved. And so they're the two categories that he ends with. And so as believers, we can have confidence that we're saved and that Jesus is coming and that we have an eternal inheritance. But now faith is the substance. So a lot of people think faith is like, so as Wendy said there, I liken this. Faith is our positive response to God, and grace is God's positive response to us. So that's how I liken it. But faith is the substance. What if I said to you, I don't know, what's this substance? And I put a glass of milk in front of you. You'd be able to see that the substance of that was milk. And faith never ever doesn't make things real that weren't real to begin with. Faith always brings from that realm, but they're always things that were real to begin with. Like faith is the substance. So faith, it's not like some mysticism, and it's not like some abracadabra. It's not some like magician act that we like, oh, right, by faith, and we speak out. And we believe, no, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith never ever, it always brings back things that were already real to begin with. But then it makes them real to you. So we call those things that be not as though they were. So let's say today people are watching and you need a job. Well, guess what? Jobs are real, right? So now you can say to God, I'm going to put my faith out that the substance of that employment is going to come to me in Jesus' name. So we now take the thing that's real in the first place, and we now begin to believe. What do? We may have to, faith without works is dead. So we may have to write some CVs out. We may have to get on the bus and go and do some canvassing at some local industries. But when you speak faith, faith is voice activated. When you speak that, we then call those things that be not, but they are the real things. Sickness. So you've got a cancer in your body, or you've got a tumour. So you now bring what's in the unseen realm, but it's real, like wholeness and healing. And you then call that wholeness and healing, which is real, until it becomes real to you. And then what happens then is that sickness obeys, and those cells obey. And those and the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Speak it out. So that's just my slant on that. Faith never, it's not like a mystical thing. Faith always, it doesn't make things real that weren't real to begin with. Amen. It just makes them real to you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. You can't, I've heard it said, you can't have faith for something that God hasn't provided by his grace. So as Tom said, faith activates the grace and brings it through into this earthly realm. Over to you, please, Pastor Kathleen. You'll have to unmute.
Awesome. Well, I'll just read this from the New Living Translation. Faith is a confidence that we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Now, faith is, that's what Gary was saying, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is always in the now. It's the currency of heaven, the heavenly substance with which God created the universe. It is the assurance, it's the confirmation, it's the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now that's Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified Bible. So, you know, we're all given a measure of faith. When we're born again, we have a measure of faith. And the faith that he's talking about here is not really our faith. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. Because Galatians 2:20 says, it's no longer I that live. It's now Jesus Christ living in me. So that the faith that I now live by, I live by the Son of God. Mm. See, we can't glory in anything. I cannot glory in my faith. It's his faith residing in me that I now live by. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And in another place it says, those that have the faith of Jesus. See, when you're truly born of the Spirit, when you know that you know beyond a doubt, nothing can quench it. Nothing. Nothing can persuade you. Because nothing can separate you from that fact that you are born of the Spirit, that you are now no longer your own, that you've been purchased, and now you can't live as you please. You have to live by faith, the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. That's why it says, it's no longer I that live. It's now Christ Jesus who lives in me. So the very life that I am now living, I am now living by the faith of the Son of God. who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
I'll leave it there, Gary.
Thanks, Kathleen. Lovely. Yeah, well, it's been another good Bible study. Thank you very much to all the ministers on the screen who've just put in such great word, because it's the word of God that changes lives for the better. Not changes lives for change's sake, but changes lives for the better. That's what the word of God achieves. And the biggest change that you can have in your life is to make Jesus Lord of your life. You know, this Bible study is here to teach you guys out there in the third dimension how to rightly divide the word of truth for yourself. Well, that's fine for us who are Christians. But there's a degree of people who watch these Bible studies who haven't yet. They're not Christians. They might call themselves Christians, but Kathleen was talking about this confidence that we have, that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. Well, that's a role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. If you don't have that witness, then you're not a child of God, and you need to say this prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It comes from Romans chapter 10, verse 9, which says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How simple is that? You do that, the Holy Spirit comes to reside in you, and you will have this witness of the Holy Spirit witnessing to your spirit that you are a child of God. So I invite you right now to say this prayer with me. God, I've heard about Jesus. I've heard the good news. I've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and right now I decide to invite Jesus into my heart. Jesus, come into my heart. I thank you, Jesus, that when I put my trust in you and I call on your name, that you send your Holy Spirit to reside on the inside of me, that I am now a child of the living God. I believe in my heart that God the Father raised you from the dead, Jesus. And I thank you that I can now call God my Heavenly Father, and I can call you my Lord and my Saviour. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Gloria, I'll give you an email address to contact us. You really do. This is what we call the beginner's prayer. It's the beginning of your walk with Jesus. It's the beginning of your like. When you get born again, and that's what you just did, you got born again. When you get born again, eternal life starts now. It doesn't start when you get to the pearly gates. It starts right now. And it's a journey. Every step of the way is a decision of faith. They call it walking by faith. Every step of the way is to walk in the Spirit. And you're going to need help to do that. We've all had it. Everyone on the screen has been discipled. They've been mentored by another Christian. And you need to get somebody to give you a hand. Somebody, maybe it's in Uganda. If you're in Uganda, maybe I can put you in touch with Patrick. Or if, you know, somebody. There's someone in your neck of the woods who can mentor you. You need to get in touch with us. Over to you, Gloria, if you can give the people in the third dimension our email address and close this Bible study with prayer. Thank you.
Yes, so if you would like to email us and let us know or ask a question, it's gfcd.sozo, S-O-Z-O, @gmail.com. So, Father God, we thank you for this precious time. We thank you for the ministers who've given their time freely to come and discuss your word. We thank you that your word goes out into the world and it's changing lives for the better. We thank you for Jesus and for the Holy Spirit, and we bless you all in his precious name, and have a wonderful week. Thank you all for joining us.
Amen. And thank you, ministers, again, all of you. You're just such a blessing. And for you guys out there in the third dimension, just remember where you saw us. We'll be back this time next week. God loves you, and we love you too. Bye for now.